Psalm 91:16 says, "With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." That's all I want to read out of there tonight. Tonight I want to talk to you about having a satisfied life. Having a satisfied life. Living a satisfied life, church, is a witness in this earth. It's a witness to do good. It's a witness to show that God is good. God wants to show his goodness to us and through us. Amen. So if we're going to be satisfied, we have to get on the right side of the road. Let's face it, if you're going to go to Houston, you can't take I-35. Right? You're going to have to go a different way. You know, you can sit silently and reverently behind the steering wheel, and you can sing Kumbaya all you want to, but you are not going to get to Houston on I-35. So, you know, it's going to be all about your thoughts. It's going to be all about the way that you think. There's a story I heard a long time ago about a young girl. Her mother had actually died in the dentist chair when she was very young. And so all through her life, she was fearful and concerned about that. And lo and behold, she died in the dentist chair. And the headlines in the London newspaper there actually said, "Killed by 30 years of thought." Killed by 30 years of thought. Isn't that interesting? So, you know, the journalist actually captured the absolute truth there. He actually did. You know, that wasn't a freak coincidence. It was no unexplainable twist of faith. It was a dramatic snapshot of a universal truth in operation, that truth that echoes throughout the Bible again and again. And if it's in Proverbs 23:7, and every one of us know it here, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." So, you know, Jesus said that what we believed would happen. This is nothing new to you all, but it's something we need to think about. You know, I didn't say those things to inspire gloom. But I just want to get you thinking and just really get you on the right track for the season that's ahead. And because you're supposed to live a satisfied life, even though we've been through all kinds of stuff. I mean, this has probably been, Snowmageddon and then the plague and then the election and all the things that have happened. It's been really interesting. But even in spite of all that, we can live a satisfied life. We can continue on in God because God will do us good. You know, most religious people think their destiny is just solely in the hands of the Lord. But you have a part to play. And you have to understand that part. You need to know what you're doing. You have a major role in that part. God's offering his good. The enemy is offering his darkness, John 10:10. But, you're going to have to play your part in that. And many people miss God's plan for their destiny, like that woman in that article. She totally missed it because she lived in fear. Her thinking was hijacked. It was just hijacked all of her life. Your thinking could just be hijacked, and you could go down the wrong path for years just living in some kind of fear. And, you know, truth be told, we've all had detours. All of us have had detours. But I'm just so happy to tell you tonight that even though you've missed a few opportunities, it's not over. Praise the Lord. God always has something good in store for us, church. Always. He always does. So we don't have to miss those opportunities. I think it was Shadrach who talked to us about Gideon, right? You talked to us about Gideon. I'm going to talk to you just for a minute about Gideon. He was in the day of the judges. And at the time he lived, Midian was coming against and just plundering Israel. Gideon's hiding in the wine press. He's trying not to be found. He just wants to be a nobody, you know, just leave me alone. He's covered with wheat dust, you know. He's trying to do his best not to be seen. Y'all all know the story. The angel of the Lord shows up there and he says the last thing that Gideon expected to hear. He says, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." Can you imagine his face? He's standing there, who are you talking to? You know, he's looking around. He doesn't know. Not only is he's face to face with an angel, but he's being introduced to two concepts right here. Number one, he finds out that he's not alone in this mess. The Lord is with him, the angel said. And then the second thing he finds out, he's hearing himself described in a way that just blows his self-image to smithereens. He didn't have this kind of image. He's finding out that in the eyes of God that he's a mighty man of valor. Wow, he's a hero. He's a champion. I think there, for a moment, he might have been thinking, are you talking to the right guy? Did the angel get the right address? I mean, what's going on here? But he was the right guy. And the angel was delivering the same message to Gideon that God wants to deliver to you. It's the same message to the New Testament believers. I am with you, mighty champions. You are mighty champions. And as amazing as that may seem to you tonight, you're thinking, wow, little old me. But that's exactly how God sees you. He sees you as a champion. As new creatures in Christ Jesus, we are the righteousness of God. We know that. We have a revelation of that. We're cleansed by his blood. We're delivered out of the power of darkness into God's kingdom through his son. Amen. We're triumphant. We're overcomer. We're devil-dominating ambassadors of the Most High God. Thank you, Jesus. But you might just say tonight, you know, but Pastor, I just don't feel like that. I just don't feel like that at all. So what? Stop siding with your emotions and believe your Bible. Believe your Bible instead. Change your point of view and choose to agree with how God sees you and what God says about you. And that's exactly what Gideon did eventually. First, he tried to figure things out, and he asked the angel some questions, remember? He's like, to put it bluntly, he's asking the angel, why did God fall down on his job? Yeah. Remember that? Well, this and this has happened, so why wasn't God doing anything? But you know, don't be so shocked at the audacity of the question. Believers ask those kind of questions all the time. Amen. If God is with us, then why did so-and-so get cancer? If God is so good, why is there trouble in the world? Those sound like deep theological questions, but they really aren't. They're just proof that people have taken their eyes off God's word and focused on something else. Yeah. Amen. Once you get on the word and you find out, you can answer those questions really quick. We were just talking the other day about the thief killing and stealing and killing and destroying. That God is good all the time because he is. So, you know, but this kind of thinking, it can distract and divert you from your divine destiny. This is the kind of thinking that it'll literally kill people because they don't know a way out. They just take that path. But here's some wisdom for you. I'm going to give you some wisdom. Who wants some? Anybody? Praise the Lord. We can't get the right answers asking the wrong questions. You just can't. You know? We can't find the right road by staring in the rearview mirror. You're not going to find the right road that way and ask him, why did this happen? Why did this happen? Why didn't God intervene? Why? Questions like that just keep us confused, and God rarely answers them. He just doesn't do it. He usually ignores them, and I can prove it to you. Because Gideon's there, and in this case, the angel just blew right past those questions. He said, well, what about this? And the angel just goes right on. And he says, you go with strength that you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I'm sending you. Yeah. If you go searching through the Bible, you see God did that with Moses too. Yeah. You remember that? Yeah. Moses is going, but he's going, no, you're going. Yeah. He just moved right through. So sometimes God will ignore you because you're asking the wrong question. I've had that several times in my life. So, you know, and here again, once again, he hears this. Okay, you're sending me. Gideon's mind is just reeling. What do you mean going my strength? Don't you know I don't have any strength? I'm a coward and I'm choking on chaff in here. You know, he just doesn't seem like he's getting it. But that's how Gideon saw himself. How do you see yourself? That's not how God saw him. He saw Gideon the way he created him. Then comes the next excuse. How can I rescue Israel? You know, my clan's just the weakest one. You know, we're nobodies. You know, I'm of the tribe of Manasseh. I just don't have what it takes. You know, but apparently the creator of the universe doesn't take your family history into account when he calls you to do something. Thank you, Jesus. He has his design. He has his destiny. And he wants you to get into his destiny. So if you'll just start agreeing with what he's saying about you and not about your shortcomings, then you're going to get to where you need to go. I'm going to be in agreement with God. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. He doesn't tailor his plan to fit your family. So once again, Gideon's questions are ignored, and he just says, I'm going to be with you. You're going to destroy the Midianites, and it's going to be like fighting against one man. Awesome good news right there. And at that, Gideon dropped his objection, and he believed what God said, and his future began to change right there, absolutely began to change. It cut short, church, it cut short his fears that he would ever get into the finished work, okay? Amen? So how did Gideon then make such a dramatic change? How did he do it? What was the secret? What enabled him to take a step of faith that took him from terror to triumph? What is the thing? We're just going to boil this down now. He fixed his thoughts. He fixed his dreams, his faith, on the divine truth as opposed to the facts. Amen? God is with you. You are a champion. You will be victorious. God is with you. You are a champion, and you will be victorious. Now, you may ask the question right now, because you know how we believe. Why are you saying you will be victorious when you are victorious? Well, we're just saying that over everything that you are going to encounter, anything you're going to go after in the future, you're going to be victorious because you come from a place of victory. So you're going, whatever happens, whatever plays out, you're going to be victorious. Now, that right there is your true entrance ramp onto the right road. Okay, that's the way you're going to get to where you need to go. You are victorious. Amen. So lock onto these three truths that I've just mentioned to you. Meditate on them every single day. Take them with you wherever you go. It's just so simple. These three truths will find the highway that leads to your God-ordained destination. Now, most of you are already on these roads. You're headed that way. They'll steer you away from disaster. They're going to steer you away and just right onto your destiny. And it's not going to be the one you dreaded. It's going to be the one you dreamed of. Man, dread will take you down the wrong road quickly.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I hope the Lord doesn't send me to Africa. Yeah, you know, people get into stuff like that. Listen, desire, desire of Father, God's going to put desires in your heart that you're going to want to do.
Yeah.
Whether it's an entrepreneur, whether it's a ministry, whatever it is, God will put those desires in you and then he'll help you carry them out. And it won't matter if you're male, female, if you're born on the other side of the tracks, what ethnic group you're with, blah, blah, blah. That, you know, if your mom and them didn't make it, whatever. It's not going to be based on that. It's going to be based on your God.
Yes.
Amen. God is with you. You are a champion. You will be victorious. Okay? That's exactly what we need to look at. Those three truths, church. Say this, God is with me.
I am a champion.
I am and will be victorious.
I am and will be victorious.
God is with me.
God is with me.
I am a champion.
I am a champion.
I am and will be victorious.
I am and will be victorious.
You need to be saying that out there. If you're out there watching from home, please say it with us too. Write it down so you can start saying it every day. It'll empower you to say something that comes straight out of the Word of God. Church, God is with you. Listen to me. He's with you in power, not just comfort. Not just, oh, well, let me pet you because it's so bad right now. No, he's with you in power. We all understand the authority of the believer. We have some power in our lives. Jesus said we could lay hands on the sick and they would recover. Jesus said we could rebuke devils. Jesus said we could drink any hot thing. Maybe you might accidentally drink something you shouldn't drink one day and it won't harm you. All those things are still true. We're not going to handle any snakes. We're not even swinging on our chandelier. But it is there. I'm playing. But you have this power. You have this comfort, too. But you have power. It's not just Jesus saying, baby, I know it's your heart out there. He's saying, girl, come on. You're a champion. You're a champion. Man, come on. You're a champion. Romans 8:37 says, nay, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us enough to die for us. Jesus was our champion. We're more than champions. When a boxer knocks that guy out in the arena and he runs in there and they give him the big check, $1 million, $1 million. He's going, yes, I'm a champion. He walks right back into the back room. The wife's standing there. He hands her the check. She's more than a conqueror. She's more than a champion. See? That's how Jesus, you say, you're just being silly. Yeah, but just think about it. That's really the truth. Jesus handed us the victory. He's the conqueror, and then he just handed us the victory. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Now, just before we leave Gideon, I want to mention something to you. A pretty neat example. You don't have to have an angel show up to a pity party. And I'll tell you why, because Jesus has already delivered this message to you. It's already true about you. Just before he went to the cross, he said this in John 17:16. He said, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now, I want to read you a couple of translations because this makes this really neat. They do not belong to the world, as I do not belong to this world. Here's another one. They are not a part of this world. Any more than I am. That's the NRSV. And this is the message. This is the one I happen to like this time. They are no more defined by this world than I am. Isn't that good? These are powerful translations, but that message right there, that really got to me. They are no more defined. That sounds like something my mother would say. Da, 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 you know, they are no more defined by this world than I am. That's what he told the Father. Now, let's just personalize that just for a minute. I am no more defined by the world than Jesus is. This is big. It's a staggering concept. We should really let that just sink in. Jesus is not defined by the world, and neither am I. He didn't adapt to concepts or politics or religious tradition of the day. He didn't conform to the circumstances that challenged him because he wasn't a part of it. So he didn't participate in it. See, operating by the power of God's Almighty Spirit, he lived far above the world system. And that's exactly where you are, far above. You're far above the world system. You are living in dominion with Jesus. He said it and we ought to believe it. And there are no more defined, we're no more defined by this world than he is. I am no more defined by this world than Jesus. That's something we need to let sink into our thinking. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Think about that word defined. It means to set the limits or boundaries. You can't put me in that. I'm not in it. I'm with Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know, a piece of property, it has boundaries. It's set in a place. It has borders, and it's all determined out by the width and length and the feet or the miles or whatever. And then a container, it's defined about what the capacity is, how much it can hold. Can it hold gallons or ounces? But as human beings, we define ourselves much the same way, and we don't need to. We don't need to, well, you know what? This is me. This is just me. You just can't do it. Now you understand, girls can't do that. Can't be a preacher. It'll be too hard on you. Well, you should have told me that 31 years ago. Because I'm still doing it. And I'm not saying it's not about the whether man or woman there. It's about the anointing there and what you're called to do. You sure do not try this at home if you're not called to it. Don't be a pastor if you're not called to it. There is a grace for being a pastor.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, that's just the truth. And the same with whatever it is you do. We have a lot of entrepreneurs. We have people in ministry here. But if the calling is on your life to do it, you're going to have the grace to do it.
That's right.
But if it's not, you're not going to. But you can't base it on your feelings. Because mom and them will say, some moms won't, but mom and them will say, you just need to settle down now. Settle down. The famous words from my family were, now what's she doing? Okay. But I've been doing this a long time. All right. So, what about education? Or the lack of? That's not going to define you. You can have a lot of letters after your name, and it could do nothing for you if you're not in your place. But if God, wherever God leads you, you can do it. Amen. Nothing wrong with having education. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you need to have some wisdom with your knowledge. Amen. So, and the past. What's happened in your past? Let it go. I will not sing the song. We're doing good. So it just means that yesterday's failures are not going to define your life today. They're gone. Now, therefore, there is no condemnation. That updates itself. Now, just follow after the Spirit. And listen, you're not defined by divorce or bankruptcy. No, you're not. You're defined by the Spirit of God. Well, you don't know how many times I've had to start over and how many times I've failed. Forget about yesterday and start today. You are all right. It's not the end of the world.
Amen.
I know religious people tried to make it the end of the world for you, but it is not.
Amen.
You've been liberated from all these things. Thank you, Jesus. He's now defining you based on the potential that He put in you. And what He can do through you. You've been free from all the other stuff. You can just step right into your future. You can do it. I'm not talking about not learning along the way and taking surely the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, but I'm talking about getting rid of all the parasite drag. You don't have to have it. You're just going to have to think bigger than you've ever thought before. Don't limit God. Live on a level that's beyond what you've imagined. Start imagining bigger things. Imagination is a good thing. Well, I don't know, but yes, it is under God, in God. It wasn't good at Babel, but God understood something about man. He understood that what they imagined would come to pass, bad or evil, I mean bad or good. You could take your imagination and believe God to win the world. I got to hurry down the line here. I got too many good things to say. Think about Peter in prison. Think about him. So he's in chains, four squads of soldiers around him, but prison didn't define him. He's out on the street the next day preaching. He just kept going. Be a bad idea for the devil to put you in prison. And listen, if you've been to prison, because we do minister in the prisons, and you show up here, you're watching online, that because you went to prison doesn't define your life. Jesus will define your life. What about Joseph? What about Moses? What about Joshua? I know you don't think you're like them, but just listen to this. Listen to this. This is Colossians 3:11. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. Now, the Message translation says this. From now on, everyone is defined by Christ. That's good. If you came into Jesus, you're in a new place. You're a new creature. Things are new with you. You now have the nature and the power of God to certainly do what's right, do it right because it's right. We believe that. But it's all going to come from the nature of God that's on the inside of you. Amen. You're defined by Him. And if you want to determine the boundaries of your life, just look at what Jesus can do. Just look at what he can do. Study what he said and believe what he said. Don't limit yourself by the junk that the world throws at you all the time. Just define yourself by Jesus. Define yourself by living in Christ. Redefine yourself in such a revolutionary way that you develop a mindset that is radically different than the world. Amen. Church, you have to disregard opinions of other people. You have to renew your thinking. It's always been this way. Follow Jesus. He's always expected his disciples to do that, and I can prove it to you. Over in Matthew 16:13, you can look there if you want to, but we'll go there. Go over to Matthew 16:13. We're pretty good on the clock. You know the story. We'll read a few verses there. Say glory when you get there, because you can have what you say. Okay, Matthew 16:13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" "Well," they replied, "some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." Now, did you hear that? Who do other people say that I am? Okay. Who do the other people say that I am? Okay. But then who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, "You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being." Okay. So Jesus asked them two different questions. He said, "Who do the men say I am?" The disciples answered, "Well, they said you're John the Baptist or Elijah or Jeremiah." So, you know, that's really very interesting that the religious Jews of that day centered around a Roman concept of reincarnation. Okay, they've come back. He's somebody come back. And that just goes to show you the wackiness of the world that can creep in. Yeah. Doesn't it? Yeah. Right into church theology. Now, the second question was, "But who do you say that I am?" So he indicated there that they would answer the question differently.
Right. Yeah.
Okay?
Right.
Because they are no more defined by this world than he is.
That's good.
See that?
Good.
Yeah, he expected them to answer differently. He expects you, I feel the anointing right there. He expects you to answer differently. When you get a doctor's report, he expects you to answer differently.
Right.
When you get some kind of note in the mail that you don't like, he expects you to answer differently.
Yeah.
He expects you to answer differently. When the world's going one way and they're doing all of these things, he expects you to vote Bible.
Yes.
I just thought I'd add that. Thanks, Jesus. So when what do you do with your symptoms? What's your report? Well, we should have a different answer than the world. Now, we're not trying to deny facts.
No.
We're just speaking in faith. You don't go around saying, "I'm not sick, I'm not sick, I'm not sick." You say, "I am healed."
Yeah.
The fact is, you could have a pain, but the truth is, there's a truth above that fact that you're healed.
That's right.
And so that healing is the superior force that will knock out that fact.
Amen.
But we're not going around trying to deny something. That's not what Abraham did. He didn't call things that were as though they weren't. He called things that were not as though they were.
Yeah.
There's a difference there. And so, but what you do is in this superior realm that you live in, you use words, which is, this is what faith is to overtake what the facts say. And this is what Jesus expects us to do as champions. He expects us to change our thinking, to cast down imaginations that exalt themselves about what we know about God, and to say the right thing. What about the economy? Well, what are you saying about your economy? Amen. So this has to become our habit, and we have to retrain our minds to filter everything through the light of how God, how Jesus defined us. It's how he defined us. This is how we define ourselves. God is with me. I'm a champion, and I will be victorious. Thank you, Jesus. You receive this tonight, church? Father, thank you in the name of Jesus for everything you've done for us. We are your champions. We say what you say, Lord. Lord, you are the high priest of our confession. And we will say Bible words. We will say what you said. You said it is written, it is written, it is said. And we follow the same plan when the enemy tries to speak up. We thank you, Lord, that he is a defeated foe. In Jesus' name, thank you for it, Lord. Church, you have to remember that the enemy is already defeated. He's trying to use the power of your words. He's trying to use your power. He doesn't have any. Jesus defeated him. He defeated him when he went to the cross and was resurrected. You already have a victory. The only thing that Satan has is he still has his intellect and he tries to deceive. He has one way in, and that's to try to get you to take thoughts by saying them. And that is the only way he gets in. He tries to bring fear with an influence. He tries to do these things, and you can absolutely put him on the mat. He has no power against you.